Hello and welcome to the Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast with Katie Papo. Our mission is to help you permanently end disordered eating, binge eating, food addiction, emotional eating, by creating a healthy and peaceful relationship with food. We are sharing simple and sustainable strategies to help you do exactly that. Please subscribe and follow and say hello. And if you haven't yet joined my email list, that's where I send out my highly detailed writings to help you implement all this even better. I invite you to join my email list now at katiepapo.com. Enjoy the episode. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom. I am Katie Papo, and today is actually the last episode of this season. So the new season will start sometime in July. I'll announce it next month in June. But I just wanted to thank you guys for really participating and showing up this season. And we'll finish the season with an episode for intellectual people. And I wanted to create this episode for those of you who are more intellectual in nature. You spend more time in your head than anywhere else. And your brain has been a strength of yours for your whole life. Maybe you've done really well in school or really well in your career. You take in concepts quickly. When you think things through, you really think things through. Like you're cautious, you are smart, you pride yourself in your intellect in a way. And it's part of your identity, who you are, is being more of an intellectual person, being more mind focused. You have a sharp mind, which brings so many benefits to you. And it's probably at some point, you know, you've been praised for that, right? You've been praised for being so intellectual or being so smart. Or maybe it's made you more money because you were able to do well in school or get a great job, or however it worked out for you. Maybe you've just had more options available because you were so intellectual, because of your ability to think ultimately. And why did I want to address intellectual people in this episode? What I've noticed over the years is that there is a portion of people who struggle with binge eating who are very intellectual in nature. And they all tend to think that they're on an island and that they're the only ones who struggle with binge eating. And it's even more frustrating actually for them, because in any other area of life, they've been able to think or problem solve their way out. So maybe that's you. Maybe you've had lots of different struggles in your life. Maybe you've had problems that you've needed to solve and you've been able to solve successfully. Let me know in the comments, by the way, if this is describing you. But with food, it's like a whole different realm. It's like any other area of your life, you feel confident in the sense that I can solve this. I can definitely take care of this. I just need to think. I just need to plan. I just need to research. I need to go through this in a methodical and logical way, and the problem will be solved, right? It doesn't mean it doesn't take work, but you don't really doubt yourself and your ability to problem solve in other areas of your life. But what's happened with food is that you've approached it in the same way that you've approached other things, right? Maybe you've done some research. Maybe you've done a lot of research. Let me know if that's you. Maybe you've, oh, good. I just saw people, the comments are all popping up right now. I see Lori. Hi, Lori. Hi, Joan. Nice to see you. So really what becomes frustrating, I would say, frustrating and sometimes even like maddening, is why is it that when I apply this way of thinking to everything else, I seem to solve my problem. But when I try to apply it to eating, it's like a different thing happens. I've done this research. Maybe I've hired, let's say, a nutritionist or a therapist, and I've done the appropriate analyzing to figure out why. why I binge. Maybe I figured out, oh, it had to do with some kind of childhood issues that I had, or maybe it has to do with this dieting that I've done in the past, or whatever you were able to figure out, right? But then even when you have these insights and you have this knowledge and you feel like you've learned more and you feel like you've been tackling this in a productive way in terms of the amount of research you're doing, the amount of thinking and problem solving and planning that you're doing, maybe reaching out for various resources, that the binging is still there. And not only is the binging still there, but it doesn't seem to be getting better. In fact, it's probably actually getting worse. That's what I see most of the time, is this is not the type of thing that gets better over time or even stays the same. It tends to get increasingly worse. So what's frustrating about that, especially for someone like you, if you're more intellectual, is not just the stress of the binge eating itself and the health issues that it can cause and the time it takes from your life where you have all this mental power, right? And one of your biggest strengths is your intellect. But you're not really able to use it to your full potential because your mind is consumed with thoughts of food. And that's one of the most frustrating things, is it not only takes away what we have, binge eating, but what it also does is it prevents us from expanding to our full potential. It prevents us from actually using our brain power for things that will really benefit us in our lives. And instead, all of that brain power gets wrapped up in thinking of food and researching about food and eating disorders and all of these things. So what I wanted to point out in this episode, I was actually talking to Shahar about this right before we got on. Shahar will be joining us for season 3, by the way. So I said to him, what do you think are the reasons why intellectual people tend to struggle with binge eating so much? And he said, overthinking and obsession. And I was like, yep, that basically sums it up in 2 words. And I wanted to go over those 2 things here, because when you have awareness over what you're doing and you can actually see very clearly what you're doing that's making this worse, now you're in a position where, first of all, you're not going to continue perpetuating the same cycle, right? Because that's a lot of what's maddening about this, is it's a cycle, right? It's not like new stuff's happening. It's that you keep going through the same cycle again and again. But also you're going to be able to pivot out of that old way of thinking and into a new way of thinking. And because your mind is so strong, you have an advantage here. But if you don't know how to use your mind properly, for solving this particular issue, it will continue to lead you in these circles. So let's go over the 2 things that Shahar had said that I also agree with are the 2 biggest things that intellectual people struggle with that keeps them stuck the longest. So the first one is this energy of obsession, right? Sometimes when we're actually, let's start with overthinking. Let's start overthinking. So overthinking. Now, when it comes to eating, right, think everything that we're talking about here is connected to your relationship with your body, your relationship with food. Now, if we try to solve a body problem, right, with the mind, we're ultimately going to find ourselves stuck. Think about it. The body is the one that's doing all the eating. The body is the one who's going to be able to tell you if something feels physically good or doesn't feel physically good, right? The body is the one who tells you this is painful, right? The body is the one who tells you this feels nourishing. I feel hungry. I feel full, right? The body is the one that is delivering every kind of signal or message that you need in order to take care of your body, right? The body is the deliverer of those messages. Now, what happens when we're prone to the mind or thinking, overthinking, like intellectual people often do overthink. And we operate in the realm, I say we, because I tend to identify as more of like an intellectual person, is we live a lot in our heads. In fact, for a lot of my life, I've kind of just felt like I've been like a floating head where I don't even remember I have a body. Like sometimes I'll be at my computer and I'll be working and I won't even notice until I stand up that, oh my gosh, I'm so thirsty. Oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. Oh my gosh, I have to pee. And I don't even realize it because I was so up in my head that I completely missed what was going on in my body. And this is, first of all, an issue when it comes to this is like become your lifestyle, right? Whereas you're so detached from your body because you're always in your head that even when the body gives you signals and clues and cues to listen to, for you to feed it, for you to take care of it, that you're not even aware that those signals are even there. A lot of people who I work with, before they start working with us, they say, I actually don't even think I have body signals anymore. They think that they've just like gone away somewhere. But what we always quickly discover is that they were there the whole time. It's just that you hadn't yet developed the capacity to tune into them or to feel them. And notice how I use the word feel there, to feel them, because what needs to happen if you're an intellectual person, chances are one of the biggest shifts that you're going to need to make in your relationship with food is shifting from the place of thinking to the place of feeling, to the place of thinking, planning, logic, analyzing, to the place of literally feeling physical sensations. So that way you and your body can begin to work as a team. Does that make sense? So this idea of shifting from thinking to feeling, it's a very simple notion. But what I found is that for those who are more intellectual in nature, this can be such a foreign trip to go from your mind to your body. And this is one of the things that we teach our clients how to do. In our program, Rewired Eating, one of the first things that everybody learns is how to make that transition from mind to body, because it's not about no longer using your mind or no longer using your intellect or your rational mind or your thoughts. It's just that you're already really good at that. That's not something that you need to further develop in this phase, right? If you need to have a good relationship with your body, which must happen if you want a strong, positive, healthy relationship with food, there's no way around that. That is the shortcut. If you're looking for the shortcut, that is it, right? Then what do we need to do is we need to learn how to make the transition from the mind and that place of thinking and analyzing to being in the body and actually physically feeling what the cues are. But then doing that repeatedly, because chances are, even if you bring yourself to the body for a minute and you can feel some kind of cue, you're going to go straight back into thinking, because that's the pattern of your mind, right? That's why we are more intellectual in nature, because we're thinking so much, we're analyzing. So the more we are spending time in our heads and we're putting all of our energy there, the less time we're spending in our body. So the key for intellectual people is to have both, is to not lose, and you won't lose it because this is natural to who you are. You're not going to lose your ability to think logically. You're not going to lose your ability to problem solve or process information or analyze. You will still have that and you will still naturally use that. But the difference is knowing when that's helpful and when it's not helpful. And it's definitely not helpful when it comes to actually taking care of your body from the standpoint of actually feeling what feels good in that moment. One of the things I've also seen in the way of overthinking, where this can get in the way for intellectual people, is actually using their mind to override body signals. So not just to ignore body signals. Like for example, here's a common one. If you say, if you think to yourself, let's say you feel a hunger pang, something like that. Let's say you feel a hunger pang. The mind might chime in and say, oh, you shouldn't be hungry yet. You just ate 3 hours ago. You shouldn't be hungry until four. Right? So that's the mind chiming in saying, well, this isn't logical. Well, this isn't how it should be. Right? So not only are you ignoring that body signal, but you're actually, what your mind is doing is helping you override the body signal. What does this do? It creates complete distrust between the body and you, because now the body is helpless, right? It's like if a baby is crying for food, right? And you look at your watch and say, well, it's not 4 p.m. yet. You shouldn't be hungry, baby. So we're going to wait until four when you actually should be hungry, right? Then the baby is in this helpless state and you can't, and it can't do anything. The baby can't do anything to feed itself. It's totally dependent on you. The body is in that same state, right? It can deliver all of the signals, just like how a baby can cry. Like the body can deliver, you know, the signals through hunger pangs. It can deliver the signals even through pain, right? But if we're not listening, then what does this train the body to do? Right? Let's say we're hungry and we override that with our own intellect or our mind or the logic that we shouldn't be hungry yet. What ends up happening is the body learns, oh, well, you're not going to be fed when you're hungry. So I'm going to learn, I'm going to train myself. The body says to itself, I'm going to train myself to slow down my metabolism and store fat. And I'm going to keep doing this because I don't trust that when I'm hungry, I'll actually be fed. So I need to adjust myself accordingly. The everything that the body does is, let me know if this makes sense, guys. Everything that the body does is to help, right? It's trying to save, it's operating in survival mode. It needs to survive. So everything it does, it's trying to create the healthiest version of itself for you. So if you're working against your body by saying, oh, well, that signal can't be right because it wouldn't be logical for me to be hungry before 4 p.m. or this is not on the plan that I have meticulously created for myself, right? If we operate from that place, instead of actually listening to the physical cues that are going on, then what we're doing is we're setting our bodies up to the place where they can't trust. The body cannot trust you because it has been starved. It has been overstuffed. Even think about binges too. It's not just about that. It's about, let's say you're eating and a lot of people who are intellectual tend to use food to numb. Right? Because you've been thinking all day, your mind is so exhausted and you just want to numb out. That's another pattern I see a lot. So what do? Is we numb with the food. And it's a way to kind of turn off the mind because the rest of the day, the mind is so active and we turn it off by kind of deadening our senses. And the thing is when we're binging like that and we're not attuned to our body either, right? Instead, we're just eating, but we're not paying attention to how it actually physically feels, is the body will start screaming then too. It'll start screaming stop in the form of pain, right? When we have stomach pain from binging too much, or when we feel that pain in our organs or in our heart, right? That's the body saying, stop, this hurts, you're hurting me. But when we just focus on the mind, and what the mind is saying, we completely ignore and override the body's cries. And the truth is that the more we're in this thinking mode, the less energy we're putting into feeling, because we can't be focused on those two things at once. I know a lot of intellectual people take pride in multitasking, but it's actually impossible to multitask. It's actually your attention just shifting very quickly back and forth between one thing and another. So in reality, your attention is not fully in either place, or it is fully in each place, but just shifting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth very quickly. So if you're focused in your head and you're all wrapped up in your head and your thoughts and your overthinking and your logic and using logic to override what the body's actually telling you, right, then you're becoming increasingly disconnected from your body. And the more disconnected from your body you become, the more disordered your relationship with food will be. The more connected to your body that you are, the healthier your relationship with food will be. And it sounds like, you know, so simple, right? It's so logical to just say, well, of course, the more connected you are with your body, the healthier relationship with food. But a lot of us, we put so much faith in diets and into like, oh, this is the plan. And I have this written out in my spreadsheet and it's color coded that this is what I eat for breakfast and this is what I eat for lunch. And I only eat between these hours. But notice how all of that is mind oriented. None of that is body oriented. What part of that are we actually looking at? How do I physically feel right now? How about now? How do I physically feel right now? Okay, I ate that. How did it feel? Instead, we more look at our checklist and say, yes, that is complete. Instead of how do I actually feel from this? Does my body feel nourished? Does my body feel full? Like, what are the physical sensations here? The more you can shift from that state of thinking into feeling physical sensations from a calm place, from a neutral place, from an objective place, the more you're going to be able to listen to your body. Yeah, Lori's just like, yeah, I love plans and routines. Me too. And a lot of us intellectual people, we are drawn to this. And that's one of the reason why dieting can feel so seductive, because a lot of it comes with like these plans. And don't get me wrong, I love structure and our program is highly structured, but structured in the sense where you actually get to follow your body instead of your mind when it comes to food. As long as you're listening to your mind and not your body when it comes to food, you are not going to create a healthy relationship with food. It's not possible. Your body is the one that's doing the eating. You don't have any relationship at all, right? If you're just totally neglecting it, or it's a poor relationship. So everyone always says, you know, I want to have a healthy relationship with food. I want to eat healthy. I want to feel good. Well, a big part of that involves then actually feeling. Because how do you know you feel good if you can't feel anything because you're so wrapped up in your thinking? Does this make sense? I hope this makes sense, guys. Then the second piece that I wanted to go into that intellectual people tend to struggle with more so than others is this energy of obsession as well. A lot of times when we think and especially overthink, we can cross that line into obsession very easily without even realizing it some of the time, where now food has become your primary focus. It has become your primary thought. If you've gotten to the point where your food, thinking of food is taking up more space in your brain than, you know, actually being present with your family, like, or present in your work, right? Maybe you're going to the movies with your family and all you can think about is, should I get the popcorn? Shouldn't I get the popcorn? Maybe I'll get a small, maybe I should eat before. Oh, what if I binge after? Well, it'll be dark. Maybe I'll share. Like, if these are your thoughts instead of, oh, I'm going to enjoy this time with my family, right? Chances are food has taken over your mind. And now you're in this place of obsession. And as long as you keep fueling only your mind and you don't learn how to rest the mind and shift your attention to your body as opposed to your mind, the obsession will only be fueled more. You will continue to obsess about food, which only fuels more obsession, right? And the more we obsess, the more we feel the compulsion, also the urges to binge or to eat or to diet or to starve. Right? We get those urges, we get those compulsions. So the obsession and the compulsion elements feed each other. So we end up, and not only that, but we can not only do we obsess with the food, but we obsess with, I've seen this before too, we obsess over eating disorders in general. Like, we'll start doing all of this research on eating disorders, and I'm going to learn everything there is to know about eating disorders and every type of treatment and every type of blah, blah, blah. And instead of actually transitioning and creating a healthy relationship with food by being in your body, instead you're filling your mind with knowledge about eating disorders, which fuels all of your attention going towards eating disorder, eating disorder, eating disorder. Your mind is so powerful, you will absolutely create what you focus on. You will create that for yourself. So if you are obsessing over food and you are obsessing over eating disorders, guess what you're creating for yourself? Instead, what we want to shift to is creating the relationship with food that you want, right? What I see is a huge problem with many eating disorder treatments out there is they're so focused on eating disorders instead of actually creating a healthy relationship with food. So in other words, it's focused on, they're focused on trying to get rid of something versus actually building and creating something. When you're focused on building something and creating a new relationship with food, any old patterns you have will naturally fall away because there's something stronger now that's being built and fueled to take its place. Whereas if you just focus on trying to eliminate or destroy another habit, right, all you're really doing is still obsessing over that same negative habit, but in a different way. You're obsessing about it in terms of getting rid of it and learning all about it and focusing about it. This only will cause further identification with your with the problem that you have. Your mind will continue to be drawn to always thinking about here's the problem and I need to analyze more and think more. And ultimately it's taking you even further and further up into the ethers of your mind rather than grounding you down into your actual body, which should be the one who makes the decisions around food. So if you want a healthy relationship with food, filling your mind with more and more and more endless knowledge about eating disorders, you're only focusing yourself more on eating disorders, eating disorders, eating disorders. This is what the mind hears. And especially if your mind is already very active and you are intellectual and you spend a lot of time in your head, this is just going to send you spinning. And you're going to have all of this knowledge. And in a way, it will feel productive because you are always learning. But the difference is there's no transformation. It's like you're filling yourself with information, but getting zero transformation out of it. The only transformation that's actually happening is you're just digging yourself deeper and deeper, deeper into this hole of disordered eating, getting further and further disconnected from your body and more just wrapped up and spiraling off somewhere in your mind. There's a place for the intellect. There's a place for researching and analyzing. There's a place for it. I still use all of these, you know, great problem-solving tools. It's not like my intellect just fell out of my head because now I know how to connect with my body. You need to have both. And in order to end your eating disorder completely and create a healthy relationship with food. So I'm not just talking about stopping binges, but I'm also talking about stopping the mental obsession and creating instead the energy of food freedom for yourself, where you're not constantly thinking about it. You're actually just focused on whatever's in front of you and being present in your life, right? In order to be able to do that, you need to shift from the mind into the body. And you need to practice this so many times that it becomes a very familiar path to you. This is what we teach. This is what we teach our clients. This is what they're doing right now. And what I can tell you, we actually have one client who's popping into my mind in this moment, who for her first week in rewired eating, I noticed because she was writing her wins in our group and a lot of her wins were connected to mindset. So they were all positive. But I asked her and I said, you know, let me see your weekly reflections and let me get a closer look into what you're working on. And I saw that because she was so intellectual, right, she was very drawn to all the mindset work. And one of the things that she said was she was doing all this mindset work, but she also felt her mind like kind of going nuts because now she has like the old patterns in her mind and the new patterns in her mind. And then I looked at what she was practicing and she was actually skipping the work that helped her shift from the mind to the body, from the mind to the body, from the mind to the body. She was skipping it. And so I said, this is where your focus needs to be. And she was resistant, right? Because this was not her comfort zone. Her comfort zone was being in her mind and relying on her mind and her intellect for everything. So she's not losing that. She's still a very intellectual and intelligent person. But now she's developing a skill that's helping her heal her relationship with food. So literally immediately, and I just saw one of her posts this morning, over these last couple of weeks, since she started emphasizing that component, now suddenly she knows exactly what her body's saying all the time. It's so much easier for her to just listen to her body. All these urges to binge have been only lessening and lessening and lessening. She's enjoying her food so much more. She's actually present in what she's doing. She's more present in her life. She has always described herself as like this really busy person with this full schedule, and there's no time, and everything, you know, everything I do needs to feel productive. And now she has that as a strength, but now it's no longer taking her down, because she's no longer overriding her body or ignoring her body. Now she's actually working with her body at the same time. So she has the strength of her intellect, but she also has the strength of body listening, because the body's the one that does the eating. You cannot skip this part. And as soon as she started allowing herself to practice this piece, her progress just skyrocketed. And I'm seeing it every, she posts every day, and I'm literally seeing this improve every single day, where now she's already experiencing food freedom after just a few weeks. But it's like this level of food freedom is deepening and expanding, like forgetting certain foods are in the house, or where she used to always finish her plate, she's like very calm, just like leaving whatever she doesn't want on her plate. And the fact that there are foods now that she thought that she liked, but once she was actually present and experiencing them, she was like, actually, I don't even like these foods. I romanticized all these foods, and I'm realizing I don't even like them. And the reason she was able to get all these distinctions and have these deeper levels of food freedom was because she actually started being present in her body in that present moment, where she could feel and get that feedback. So now she has like dual strengths that are supporting each other. And we still see, you know, we can go back into like, oh, I'm analyzing, but we can catch that and say, oh, don't, that's not the thing to analyze. Just bring your attention back to this. And then we can see where the analyzing is helpful, where it's not helpful, and where it's also can actually be harmful. And when it comes to listening to your body and creating a healthy relationship with food, the more you can take yourself out of your head and into your body, the better off you'll be and the shorter and more peaceful this process will be. So I hope that's helpful for all you guys. Let me know in the comments. Let me know if that's helpful for those of you who are more intellectual in nature and shifting out of that place of obsession, shifting out of that place of overthinking, out of that place of trying to override your body signals, and instead being more connected to the part of you that is actually doing the eating and processing the food. The more you're connected to that and you're not just a floating head going around, the easier this process is. So for those of you who feel like, you know, I am this more intellectual person, I'm seeing a lot of these patterns in myself, but I don't know how to make that shift. Like, I understand it in theory, but doing it in practice has not been working for me on my own. You're who I created this Rewired Eating Program for. It's a 12-week group coaching process where the goal is to help you end your eating disorder completely, but also create significant freedom with food. So I'm not just talking about the end of binges. I'm talking about the actual mental freedom, where food is not consuming your thoughts anymore, where you're just present in your life and enjoying your life, and you can actually place your focus where you want to place it without your mind being hijacked by all these thoughts about food, all these worries about your body, et cetera, et cetera. Because what I know to be true is that when we don't have control over our mind, and our mind is just off obsessing, and, you know, that's one of the worst things that can happen for someone who has a powerful mind, someone who actually is intellectual, because your mind is all the more powerful. So if your mind is going down a bad road, a dark road that's taking you to places where you don't want to be, that's a lot of force to go up against, to have a mind that strong going in a direction that doesn't serve you and is actually hurting you or hurting your loved ones because you're not present with them anymore. So what I say to that is the more you can cut this process short, eliminate the trial and error, and actually make the clear shifts that you need to make, the more time you'll save, the more energy you'll save, the more peace of mind you will get, and your mind will actually become a helpful place to live. It will become, like, think about it. We spend our whole lives in our minds and in our bodies, right? Like, if you bought your house or you live in an apartment or wherever you live, like, think about how much time you spend there. You probably spend a good portion of your time there. So when it's time to, you know, fix the toilet, you have no problem going to fix the toilet. When the oven breaks and you need to buy a new oven, you buy a new oven. If you spend a lot of time cooking and you want to remodel your kitchen, right, you're going to invest in your home because you spend so much time there. But think about your mind and your body. You will spend far more time in these places than you ever will spend in your home. You will spend all of your life in these two places, your mind and your body. And it's up to you and only you to make these places harmonious places to live. And that's ultimately what the Rewired Eating program, I designed it for, is not just to eliminate the eating disorder, but so you can have real empowerment through your mind and through your relationship with your body. So you can create anything you want, any kind of relationship with you want, and to have a harmonious relationship with yourself and all these different aspects of yourself as you move throughout your life. So if this is something that calls to you and not only appeals to you intellectually, but calls to your heart as well, like you feel a pull to this, what I recommend is that you go to my website, fill out an application for Rewired Eating. You'll see it under katiepapo.com/program. Yeah, katiepapo.com/program. And you'll see the application there. You can just fill that out. We'll make sure it's the right fit for you, that we can help you get the results that you want. And then we can move forward with that right away. So if that's appealing to you, you can just go to katiepapo.com. And this is for people who are fully ready now to end their eating disorders. This is intensive. This is an overhaul. This is a real shift. It's a transformation. It's not just gathering more information and feeding your intellect. This is a real transformation to how you actually live and relate to food. This is building a completely different relationship with food than what you've had before. So if you're ready for that, feel free to apply. So I hope that this has been helpful for those of you who are more intellectual in nature. Know that you have this strength. Don't let it be your downfall, right? Free your mind from food so you can use all of that amazing mental power that you have for other things and to do good in the world and to serve those around you. So I hope that you enjoyed this season of the podcast, season two. I'll be back sometime in July for season three. And I will announce that to my email list. If you're not on my email list, feel free to join my email list as well, which you can find that link on my website, katiepapo.com. So hope to talk to you guys soon. And I'll see you in season three.
Well done showing up for yourself and tuning into another episode. The best way to help yourself change is repetition. So take a moment now to write down your biggest takeaway from this episode in the comments. Also, please subscribe and follow for more. And if you haven't yet, join my email list. That's where I share my highly detailed writings on how to make your food freedom journey even faster and simpler. Go to katiepapo.com to join my email list now. And finally, if you're considering working with us privately, details for our 12-week intensive program can be found at katiepapo.com. Feel free to reach out to us directly with your questions. Keep showing up for yourself, be kind to yourself and others, and I hope to see you for the next episode.